You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Oh, welcome back, everyone, to Fantasy Football Game Day. This is the calm before the storm, you see, as the NFL Sunday game start to unfold, and the greatness of the network shall reveal itself. And yes, it is game day. Oh, yeah, see that? Yeah, a little remix on the Christmas stuff. Pete Cansidori behind the glass today, or should I say in the dungeon, doing a great job running the show, as always. Let's get to the phones before we start talking about game scripts and quarterbacks. Let's go to Adam in Chicago on the line with us. What's going on, Adam?
What's up, fellas?
Chilling, baby. Happy holidays to you, Adam.
Yeah, man, you too, guys. I'm still alive in three. I have AJ twice and Julio once. I don't know if I can pull the trigger on him.
Well, look, I think Julio, you got to throw Julio in there, man. You got to. It's too much upside there.
Okay.
Now, but AJ Green, that's a problem. AJ Green looking like, what are your options there to replace AJ Green?
All right, so in AJ, I got Robbie Anderson, Allen Robinson, and Tyler Gabriel.
All right, of those three, who's the best replacement, Scott?
That's a half. I'm going to leave out Allen Robinson. Robbie Anderson, the Patriots will probably play cloud coverage and, you know, let's see what Bryce Petty can do underneath and maybe not give up the deep ball. Easy to defend. By deduction, I'm going Gabriel against the Panthers.
How about you there, Tony? You agree with that? Gabriel, the best of the three, if it's a replacement for Green?
No, I think that Atlanta's gotten crowded now, so he's going to get less targets, but he could still bust one. I mean, he's done it before. Tyler Gabriel. I in this one, I got Allen Robinson as the guy over Anderson seconds. I have 2 points.
I agree with you about Gabriel. I'm a little concerned with Julio being back, what that volume is. If Julio's not coming back there to be he's good to go. There's been no, he's off the injury report completely. It was no questionable. Will play. He was fine enough to go through. So I imagine if he's out there, he wants the ball. How about you boys out there? Luke, what do you think about this one? You like Robinson, Anderson, or Taylor?
The first thing I'll say is this is a nice wide receiving core. It's pretty deep. It's nice to have that many options there. Is this PPR?
Yeah, that's why he's playing the championship. Is this a PPR there, buddy? Adam?
This one's a half point.
Half point PPR. So you're looking more for a touchdown upside here with these guys.
Okay. I'm probably going to go Allen Robinson. I like him to break out. Like I said before, last time he played against Tennessee, 15 targets. I really think that hopefully with the coaching change too, Bortles can be have a nice week, bounce back. He's actually done well against Tennessee in the past. I think three of his four career games against them, he's put up pretty good numbers. I like Gabriel too. The only thing that concerns me in his last couple weeks, he's only gotten three catches, and granted those have gone for over 20 yards on average, but it's just it's a little bit of a risky proposition hoping for three catches to pan out to a bigger stat line. I'd go with Allen Robinson.
Mike, you like Robinson too?
I like Robbie Anderson here.
Look at this. Now, this isn't your father texting you, right? Not in the middle of the show saying, hey, yeah, can you talk about the Jet guy, right? Okay, I just want to make sure.
No, over his last three games, he's had caught 14 passes for 240 yards and two touchdowns. I like him to have, although Marshall did have 11 targets last week, I like Anderson to have a solid day this week.
Yeah, see, I think if it's a full PPR, I agree with you on Anderson, but as far as touchdown upside, I'm gonna break here with the boys on Robinson being that guy. Thanks for the call, Adam. Look, best of luck to you. Hopefully you're calling us back next week as a champion. You can reign supreme. In fact, well, for all of our callers who are winning championships, we're going to open the phone lines for you to brag and enjoy your victory and kind of take a little victory lap and parade. So best of luck to you. Enjoy the happy Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you got going on, man. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon. Okay, Adam?
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You got it, man. All right, quick thing here before we get to the game previews. I want to talk about some of these quarterbacks, and let's just do this rapid fire, okay? These are quarterbacks playing now. Will they be playing and starting in the NFL next year? And you could say yes for that team or a different team, whatever it is. Let's start with Bryce Petty. Let's start with the Jet guy. Let's start with Mike Jr. Bryce Petty, do you think this guy is a starting quarterback? And if so, is he starting for the Jets next year?
I do not think he's a starting quarterback. No, I don't.
Why is that? What do you think about Petty that makes you not?
He hasn't shown me anything. I can't see him being a starter next year.
All right, let's talk about Matt Barkley here. Let's start with Scott. Matt Barkley, has he shown the Bears enough here to be at least fighting for a job next year in camp?
No, this is a guy with four in his career, four touchdowns, and I believe about somewhere around 15 turnovers. I think he's shown he's belonged as a backup, which is an accomplishment for him. Tony thinks that Cutler will stick in Chicago. I agree with him. I don't think Mac Bartley starts anywhere. You know, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick light.
All right, let's go with you over here, Luke. Let's see, Colin Kaepernick, is he a starting quarterback next year? And if so, where do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I think his time in San Francisco is run out. He has not been able to recapture the magic.
You don't think there's another team that gives him a... Well, I mean, in all fairness, how much magic can you capture in a Chip Kelly offense with no weapons?
That's fair. I mean, that's fair. He doesn't have any receivers on the outside, but I don't think you can... I mean, I could see him coming in next year and being in a quarterback competition somewhere else. I don't think it's going to be back in San Francisco. I could see him competing somewhere else for a job, but I think if you're heading into him with just him as your starter next year, you're going to have a rough time offensively. I just can't... I don't see that working out.
Tony, what do you think about Kaepernick? You think Kaepernick's a starter next year somewhere?
Only if Vladimir Putin buys a team.
Well, anything's possible, right? I like NFL. Yeah. I went more, NFL makes me very happy. I like to see touchdowns all over the place. Mark, what about Trevor Siemian, Tony? You think Siemian is going to get that job again next year, or you think that Denver is going to move on to a higher-profile guy?
I'll tell you, he's got a shot, and if he isn't in Denver, I think that he actually has a shot at catching on somewhere else. They're going to go with Pat. I mean, they drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round. They're not going to John Elway's not going to admit a mistake this early, right? So he's going to have to get this kid in the lineup somewhere, and I think Trevor Siemian can actually play. When you talk about 30 quarterbacks in the NFL, I think he's actually one of the top 30.
So you think that Denver would stick with him with another year with Lynch kind of learning, or do you think they bring in a veteran
to win with
this defense they've got right now?
I think Paxton Lynch can be the starter next year.
Ugh, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to sit with that defense if he's get off to like a 1-3 start. How about you, Scott? What do you think about Simi? You think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I think Paxton Lynch can ever get every chance to win that job next year. So I'm not saying it's out of the question, because if he doesn't have a good camp, but I'm going to say no.
Mike Gardano Jr., Sam Bradford, you think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL next year?
I mean, I don't think in Minnesota. I'm assuming Bridgewater would be ready for next season, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's we're all hoping so. That was an awful injury, and I there's been questions of, you know, how good can he be when he comes back. There's also questions of how good was he when he was there and healthy, too. So in all fairness to Teddy Bridgewater, you know, nobody wants to see anybody's career over. But at the same time, we have to be concerned. Is Bradford the answer for them? So far, it doesn't look like it. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think if Bridgewater's ready to go, he'll be the starter up there. If he's not, I think, unless they trade Bradford somewhere, I think Bradford would be up there if Bridgewater's not ready.
I got two big updates here. We got a report from a Cincinnati writer that doctors won't let Jay Glaze is reporting that the doctors won't let A.J. Green play. And Michael Floyd will be active for the New England Patriots today.
Yeah, I just saw the Floyd news. I just saw that, too. I was going to break with that one. Now, look, Tony, we know this. We've seen enough Patriot football in the past. It's not exactly easy to get into that system and figure it out right away. We've seen a lot of players, the Chad Johnsons, I mean, a lot of guys over the years who have had, you know, good NFL careers come in and not be able to pick up that offense. How effective do you think Floyd can be, you know, short term? I'm not saying he's going to do anything today necessarily, but you think just in this offense and the, you know, through the playoffs, do you think Floyd's a guy that can actually do something for the Patriots here, or is this more just a grab for next year?
I'd be surprised if he... No, I don't think he'll be there next year either. I'll be surprised if he ever gets on the field.
Really? Yeah, see, I would be too. So anybody,
I mean, Danny Amendola is out for today's game, so he's the fifth wide receiver. I doubt you'd see him. And then next year, he's a free agent. The Patriots aren't going to sign him.
Well, you know, I doubt it, but sometimes when a guy gets an opportunity with the organization, you know, you have a chance to win. Sometimes that changes your tune, depending on this. But, yes, they're not necessarily...
Not when you're young, 27, you need to get the highest...
That's true, but I mean, how often are they going to give him that? You know what I mean? Like, with what happened, not everybody might be running to give him that money, and that might be a tricky situation there. One more quarterback that's been talked about, has been bandied about. He's not a starter right now, but some people think he will be a starter in the NFL, or at least get a chance to compete for a job. It's the guy playing behind Jameis Winston. It's Mike Glennon. You think Mike Glennon gets an opportunity, Scott?
I think he does. He's a young guy. He's heady. Sometimes the mechanics haven't caught up with the decision making. That's been inconsistent. I think he knows what to do on the field, but sometimes his body doesn't always agree with him. Maybe he'll like miss time to throw, or like he'll make the right read, but he won't put the right amount of zip on the ball. But I think somebody's going to give him a chance here. I think he's a quality kid. That can go somewhere, and people will rather take a shot on him than say a Kaepernick.
All right, let's get back to the phones. We got Dr. Dan from Austin on the line. Merry Christmas there, Cousin Eddie. I like the RV you got going there.
Oh, my God. I don't know how my wife talked me into this nonsense.
Were you guys just showing up at relatives' houses and emptying your chemical toilet in their sewers? What are you doing? What the hell are you doing, Doc?
She surprises me with a white Christmas for my gift, and I say, oh, where are we flying? She says, we're not flying. Oh, where are we driving? Well, we're going to Taos. Okay. Oh, what resort are we staying at? It's an RV resort. What?
I don't know if that counts. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what the terms are of that, but that's.
Honey, we can afford to stay at the ski resort. She's like, no, it'd be fun. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Are you there with the kids too, or just you?
Oh no, three. I've got the 1-year-old, the 5-year-old, and the 6-year-old in the back right now. I'm just standing in front of the gas station. We're almost there. It's gonna be tough.
Wow. Jeez.
And even to boot, I don't even get to watch. I won't even be able to go watch the football today. So I got it, and I probably won't even have reception. So I need to lock and load my lineup. So I've got three championships out of four leagues. I'm pretty.
Look at that, three of four. Dr. Dan bringing the thunder. How about that? Nice. All right, let's help you with these lineups here, since you got to get back on the road.
All right. Well, some of them I may be getting a little cute. I did bench Jordan Matthews, and I'm looking. I think I'm leaning Thielen over Robbie Anderson, but that's the first question in that league. And
let's start with that one. Let's take it one at a time. Tony, what do you got, Thielen or Robbie Anderson?
I go Robbie Anderson. I'm a little concerned about Thielen's injury last week, and then he didn't come back in that game, and then he's all of a sudden cleared to play right away. So I'm a little concerned there. I'll go Robbie Anderson, get some garbage time, but catches in that game.
How about you, Mike Jr.? You like Anderson here over Thielen?
I do. Is this PPR?
Yes, PPR.
Yeah,
cool.
No, I love Robbie Anderson this week.
Yeah, so that's 3 for 3 on that side. I go Anderson, too. What's the other one you got?
The other one, and this is probably across all my leagues, is the mystery of Pharaoh.
I saw that movie. I think it was Brendan Fraser was in that, The Mystery of Pharaoh. It was one of the many, many mummy films. I think it was like the fifth one. It was the one that went straight to video.
It's not a good movie.
Anyhow, no, it's not good.
Pharaoh, I was riding Rawls, but Rawls got a tough matchup, and I was thinking about putting Pharaoh in over Rawls.
Scott, what do you think, Rawls or Farrell? I kind of lean with Rawls here. I don't know. How about you?
It is a tough matchup for Rawls, but he's a more proven runner, and I was saying it before. Farrell's got a good matchup, but he had a good matchup last week and didn't take advantage of it. You don't know what you get from Farrell, maybe even Seymour Hillman if he flames out early. I think you get the more guaranteed work from Rawls, so you go with Rawls.
How about you, Luke? You like Rawls 3 for 3 there?
Actually, no. I'm not a big Pharaoh guy, but I would go Pharaoh here just because the Cardinals actually have been really yardage wise have been really good against the run. They've been really shut. They've only given up 1,033 yards, which is actually just top five yardage wise against the run. And I've actually been looking at Rawls' stats the last couple weeks, and he's only been averaging about 3.5 yards a carry more recently. And that's also with a couple long runs. If you take those out, he's not been really performing at a really high level. Just in terms of game flow, I would lean toward Pharaoh in that matchup.
All right, Doc, we got another one for us?
The other league. So the reason I'm having all these questions are Jake's ranking. So I like Jake's ranking. It typically works well, but, man, he's got Pharaoh high. And, he's got him over Blunt. He's got him over Rawls. And so that's where all my...
Well, I think he's got him over Blount this week. I think the reason he's got him over Blount this week is I think, you know, like most of us, we see, you know, last week it was a very heavy LeGarrette Blount, 2 weeks in a row, too. And I think that, you know, they might try to...
Deion Lewis outran him last week.
There was my next point. I think this is a matchup that's going to pretend a little bit more to the Deion Lewis, James White kind of guy, the way the Jets play up front, than a LeGarrette Blount type today.
So you'd go fair over Blount?
I wouldn't.
Blount has a better chance, and it's
too many
Patriots. Too many touchdowns. I think we're overthinking Farrell here.
Well, it's also too many touchdowns without. Look, Doc, with Gronkowski not in that lineup too. I mean, he is the goal. He is the guy now. He is the guy when you get into the goal line. It used to be Gronk. Now it's not. It's him. And if it turns out to be White or one of these other guys, they dump all the ball. Like, that's going to happen. That's Patriot football. There's nothing you can do to stop that. But for me, I'm you know, Blount's got what, 15 touchdowns this year, right, Tony?
Yeah, I think 13.
13. He's got some like enormous number of touchdowns this year. So I think you gotta. You got to stick with that right now. Farrell's too unproven.
Right, real,
I know the
real
magic
quick, last one.
Yep.
Cam Meredith or DeAndre Hopkins. And to me, it's kind of close.
Hopkins, grip it and rip it. Go for the championship. That's for me. Sweet. Go ahead, Tony. What do you think?
Did you pick him or did you trade for him, Hopkins?
No, I've rode him the whole way.
See,
I've benched him the last 3 weeks. But
see, you guys can still make a championship with a bad pick in the first round.
Yeah, it'll pay off.
I say go.
I disagree with the guys. I say Meredith. You know, I don't know when a team prepares for Tom Savage over a full week what you're going to get.
But Matt Meredith, Barkley is going to be.
Well, yeah, but also Meredith wasn't doing anything until late in that
we've
game.
We've already
too.
Seen
Scott,
Barkley throw the ball a lot. And
Scott, how active was Meredith until the very end of that game?
Meredith has a really good matchup in the slot this week. I'm going Meredith.
I am not losing a championship, Doc, on Cam Meredith. I'm just not doing it. I'll lose a championship with DeAndre Hopkins because your team has been good enough all year without him doing well. So get in that RV and enjoy the rest of this Christmas as much as you can with everybody in close quarters. And look, be grateful you're all together. You know, there's people with harder circumstances.
No kidding.
Although, at about 2 o'clock this morning, I'm sure you're going to be questioning this decision. But enjoy it.
Well, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas to you guys and
Joe,
to your family and everybody there.
Joe,
yes,
that Rolls Farrell, you know, one we had was very interesting. I disagree with one thing what Luke says about his analysis of Thomas Rawls when he says if you take those long runs away, you don't take them away.
Well, that's what Rawls is.
You know, they happen. That's what Rawls is.
Right. Rawls is prone to those, and that's exactly why he has the upside.
I think it was last week, like overall, Arizona's been tough against the run, but the last few weeks, they've started to slip against the run.
Yeah, and just a note of LeGarrette Blount, 15 touchdowns. I got it, Tony. I was on there. You took two away from him. How could you do that? Poor LeGarrette Blount's going to come after you. You can't take away his touchdowns.
Oh, hey, 13, 15. What the hell is this? Got two losses. That's it.
All right, we're going to step away and in a break. We come back. We start breaking down all of today's games and then the Sunday games as well and Monday also because we got you covered here. You're listening to Fantasy Game Day. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everyone, to Game Day. Let us start getting around today's games. We've got 12 on Sunday here. Obviously, we already had a Thursday night football game with the upset, the Eagles over the Giants. Let's start with the Packers-Vikings. Lots of great games today. Lots of great fantasy implications. The 8-6 Packers now looking to make a statement and try to win this division. They have it in their hands if they can win today and next week as well. Tony, coming off a big win here for them. You know, a great spot. I think... I understand last week the Vikings defense just kind of disappeared there, but I think there's just been a lot of stress on them with the offense being so bad, and I think they're getting tired. I think they're getting worn out a little bit, and I see another long day for them here on the road. Peterson coming back and then being gone, I think that's kind of like a mental weird blow to this team also. What's your take on Aaron Rodgers and company? You like his salary where it's at?
I like Aaron Rodgers, but I wouldn't go out of my way using him in daily. I would use him today for sure in you know, season-long leagues.
Well, of course,
21 points. But I think the biggest question is, what does Ty Montgomery do against a pretty good defense, right? Are they going to be able to run the ball with him, or is he going to catch the ball out of the backfield? I think he just solidified himself as the running back position. I still think he can be they got a 25-team total. I look for him to get 17 points in a PPR game.
How about you there, Scott? You think Ty Montgomery carries over? Look, he's not going to carry over the same production from last week, but are we looking too much recency bias here on the positive end with Ty Montgomery, especially for those daily owners looking for a second big week in a row?
I don't know if you're going to get a second big week in a row. With the Vikings missing Harrison Smith and Rodgers looking better as the game wore on yesterday, and I don't see any forecast that's going to be like terribly cold, I think you got to attack him with the pass. So I think Montgomery, because he's got volume and he qualifies a wide receiver, I think he's an adequate play. You know, he runs very, very strong and physical. But I don't think it's an outstanding day. But you know, I think more of the passing game here. I think the Vikings, you know, as we saw last week, can really get torn up, you know, on that back end there.
Luke, let's ask you this one. Of the Packers wide receivers there, we got Jordy Nelson leading the league in red zone targets, which is, I mean, he's just been a huge boon for anybody who drafted him or anybody who's using him in the daily world. You like Nelson or Adams more in this game today?
It's tough, definitely on a week-to-week basis with those two guys, but I would definitely lean Jordy Nelson. Watching Adams last week was not good. I think I saw him drop at least one touchdown, and he was not good. I would definitely lean Nelson. I think that Rodgers definitely is going to have his trust a little more in that corner there, but it's still on a week-to-week basis. It is tough to judge with those two guys.
8-6 Titans taking on the disastrous 2-12 Jaguars, now without a head coach. Not that they really had one anyway. You could make that argument with Gus Bradley getting axed this past week. Does that change at all any perspective also leading into this game here, where does something change in the game plan? Does something change in what they do? We've seen this sometimes where a coach gets fired and teams play a little bit better, or, you know, a little bit more aggressively or what have you. So, Scott, let's start with you here on this one. You think there's any change with the Gus Bradley firing in what you see out of that offense? We know we've talked about Bortles and Robinson already today. What is your take on this, and does it have an impact?
You can't run the ball with that team.
Right. So what else can you do but throw?
Tennessee is not good against opposing wide receivers.
Right.
You think everything would set up for Allen Robinson to have a good game based on the last meeting, but I have a lot of trouble starting Allen Robinson today because the guy's barely cracked 100 yards in his last five games total. And you're saying, okay, you know what, you want to risk this in your fantasy Super Bowl based on a coaching change. I don't feel too good about it. And what reason should I have any confidence in Blake Bortles for anything? You know, maybe in a daily play, you know, 5,000 on DraftKings. Tennessee's the better team. You know, they're going for a division championship. I take that intangible into account. I don't think there's a single Jaguar that I want to start today, except for maybe, and he didn't do anything last week, Marquise Lee. I'm going on, okay, I'm hoping a coaching change, you know, will spark this team. I don't want to risk that in a fantasy Super Bowl.
Mike, question for you. Marcus Mariota, you know, up until the last 2 weeks, he was averaging somewhere around 20-plus fantasy points a game for about a month or so. And the last two games, he's only got 13 combined in the last two. Is this a panic situation here for Marcus Mariota owners? I'm curious, too, in Dynasty long-term, so first, this week, do you think he can do enough against Jacksonville's defense? And second, keeper-wise going forward, you think Mariota can build upon a better 2016?
First of all, I think he will get it done this week. The only real reason why he's been necessarily struggling is because the running game has been very well. Derrick Henry last week had, I think, two touchdowns in place of Murray. But no, I think Mariota will get it done this week against a not-so-good Jacksonville defense. And keeper-wise, I think you'll have no problem keeping him until next year. I'd love to have him as my quarterback next year.
Jets, Patriots, Jets going into New England, the belly of the beast there, without their head coach, who was hospitalized with an illness. Did they ever actually disclose what the illness was, Tony? Did they get
no.
to it? Okay, they have not yet. It might be just the fact
just
that he had to
it.
Watch the Jets
he's
play.
Sick
yeah,
of it.
I mean, he's
yeah.
just. I think Mike's dad actually has the same illness. watching the Jets play for the last 30 years. But they're going to be taking on the Pats today. Last week was a Garrett Blount week. This week is going to be a Tom Brady week for sure. Malcolm Mitchell, last time he faced the Jets, had two touchdowns in that one. They don't have an answer for Malcolm Mitchell. They don't have anybody that matches up with him, in my opinion. Edelman will probably run all over the field as well. Tony, basically at this point, you know, do you think that this is the Deion Lewis, James White kind of a feel? We just talked about that last segment. How impactful can those two guys be today, fantasy-wise?
I like Deion Lewis, but last week he actually ran the ball, right? He didn't catch the ball in the backfield.
Well, everybody hands on deck against Denver running the ball. We're just running down their throat. So that's how you beat them.
This week, Tom Brady, I'm a little concerned about Tom Brady. I'm playing him a couple DFS games, but since he got hit in that leg, he hasn't been the same quarterback. And he didn't practice it the whole week this week. And like I said, I'm playing him in a daily fantasy lineup, but I'm a little concerned, so I'm hoping to air it out today. It looks like in this game, you're going to go with Malcolm Mitchell. You're going to go with Julian Edelman. Chris Hogan, you could throw him in there and hope for a
good play. He's the lottery ticket. Hogan's the lottery ticket in this game, but I don't know if I feel – I mean, that's GPP multiple lineup kind of a thing.
And as long as the Jets' pass rush isn't getting anywhere near the quarterback, Martellus Bennett's going to have a nice game as well. I mean, they're all on deck. They got 30 total in this game.
Luke Bilal Powell coming off a big multi-yardage contest against Miami and San Francisco. He's had some good moments here. You think Powell is the guy that the Pats target to take out here and then just make Bryce Petty beat you? You think that's the way to go? You think he's a factor today?
I actually think Powell, if you're playing PPR, I would definitely play Powell just because of the fact that the Patriots have had a tendency to get beat deep, in coverage, I saw. So that I think that they're going to be a little more wary of like Robbie Anderson going over the top, and they might be a little more okay with Petty dumping it off short and maybe getting Powell involved, because the Jets are most likely going to be down from a pretty early pretty early point in this game. So I could see Powell easily getting 6-7 catches out of the backfield and combining his rushing and receiving yards with over 100. So I would definitely still play Powell this week.
The 5-9 San Diego Chargers will head into Cleveland, winless Cleveland Browns, 0-14. I think this is the week. I'm calling my shot. I think this is the week Cleveland gets on the board with a W. San Diego really struggled last week. I think that team is just starting to fold up the tents and go home. Scott, am I crazy? Or is this the opportunity
here
for Cleveland to get
on the board? I'm just warning you because you're a friend of mine. Don't do it, all right? I went out there twice already against the Jets and the Steelers. And if it didn't happen against the Jets, who have four times in their history lost to winless teams, it's not going to happen. Don't do it.
See, I wouldn't go there against the Steelers and the Jets. I don't trust the Jets to do anything right for me ever. So I would never do that. You know, as my radio partner on Black Book says, Dan Strafford says, you know, they can't even lose right. You know, we want them to lose so they get a better draft pick. They can't even do that at the end of the season. Doesn't it show? I mean, the Chargers have had games where they've let down at the end. The Chargers have had games where Rivers has been inconsistent. The team's a little banged up. Williams is banged up. The running game isn't what it used to be. If Melvin Gordon's healthy, I say no chance. But I think the way they're going and traveling and everything after a bad loss last week, don't you think there's opportunity for the upset here?
I don't see it. I mean, you're talking about how the Chargers have collapsed. Yeah, Cleveland.
Oh, I know the Browns are
awful.
Cleveland
has either collapsed or hasn't been in position to collapse.
Well, of course, but I mean, you're looking for a team going south. How about you there, Mike? You think that Cleveland has an opportunity to win this game today?
I mean, yeah, they do have an opportunity to win, but personally, I don't think it's going to happen.
You think they go 0-16?
Yes, and I just think the Chargers are not a terrible team. They blow a lot of leads. They play in a very tough division, and I don't know. I think they have enough to pull it out tonight in Cleveland.
All right, now, Charger-wise, in terms of receivers and flow in this one today, Tony, is there a guy that you like more than others? You go like the Hunter Henry, Gates kind of group? You like Williams? You like Inman? Is there a guy that sticks out for you based upon matchup?
It's a bad game. I think...
I agree. I don't like it either.
Hunter Henry, like the tight end position is good for Cleveland.
Henry's the one that I got. Yeah.
I would go with it, but I'm not comfortable with it. I mean, when you really look at it, Antonio Gates could be at the end of the line and try to get him some touchdowns here. So that's a huge narrative. Hunter Henry, to me, is the guy that's been playing better. I'd go with him. Terrell Williams, is he 100%? Is he 80%? Is he 90%? Like, where is he in that realm? He's been catching the ball, and if he's healthy and he's getting a little healthy every week, I would think he'd be the guy to play today. Dontrell Hillman's a guy that's going to catch a couple balls out of the backfield. I do like I like Farrow over Hillman today. I really, when you look at it, it was 17 touches to 7 in that game last week. If you actually look at it, Ronnie Hillman had a 17-yard run, so that means the rest of his carries was 6 or 17 yards. So they were all ineffective as a running back. It's just a game that you could put any of these guys in, but I'm not confident in any of them.
I think it's a huge trap if anybody's trying to be trolling the Browns this week. I just do. It's how I feel about it. We're going to hit a break when we come back. We're going to talk about whether or not Matt Ryan is going to make his case today for MVP. You're listening to Fantasy Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back, everyone, to Game Day. Let's go to Twitter and get some questions answered. Tom Brantley, too, wants to know, replacing Lamar Miller at flex in a PPR. Choices are Marquise Lee, Sammy Watkins, Delaney Walker, or pick up Tim Hightower. Scott, what's your take on this one? You like Walker, or you go to pick up Hightower, or maybe you're a Marquise Lee guy? I don't know.
I just came back from the restroom, so you need to repeat the question.
Oh, sure. How much do you enjoy working with me every Sunday? That was the question.
I like working with Tony a lot. You know, it's, I work with him 5 days a week, and having six with him is now a bonus.
Yeah, it's a bonus. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
The question from Tom Brantley was, replacing Lamar Miller at a flex, PPR, Marquise Lee, Sammy Watkins, Delaney Walker, or go to the waiver wire for Hightower?
I would probably go with Delaney Walker there. I feel like he's my safest play.
I kind of agree. Tony, you agree with that?
I'm going Marquise Lee. I like Delaney Walker in that game, too, and I agree that's a safer play. But I like those two guys against the Tennessee secondary. So if you want to play it safe, I don't have any problem going with Delaney Walker.
No, I think we've already figured out that I'm feeling good about Jacksonville this week, which is a strange, strange thing. I don't know why. Tammy wanted to know, good morning, Merry Christmas, you guys. Needed two, Allen Robinson, Moncrief, Tyreek Hill. Any of those guys, who's the odd man out there? Is Hill the odd man out from the amount of opportunity?
I would say he is. You know, you just don't know what the opportunities, and while I don't like Robinson, Hill going against Denver today, and you got Macklin back, I don't like it.
Yeah, I think the volume scares me. I don't know why they don't get the ball in his hands more, but Tony, don't you think that's the way to get rid of him, right?
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, I actually have a similar decision to make, and I've taken him out of my lineup after using him for 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, we had one touch last week. It was a 62-yard touchdown. It wasn't good enough to get him another chance.
All right, let's get back to the games. We've got a couple more 1 o'clocks to go. Redskins at Bears. Look, Cousins coming off a bad outing there, going to Chicago here. Jordan Howard looks to be the guy to own in this one. But let's start with you, Luke. What do you think your thoughts are on the Redskins' passing game right now? Reed is going to be out. Do you think that that's a bump at all for DeSean Jackson or Crowder?
I definitely think it's a bump for Crowder. I picked up Crowder two of my leagues pretty early on, and the common theme was when Jordan Reed doesn't play, Crowder has his best games. And whenever Reed has been out, he's been getting more looks on a consistent basis, and that's when he's had his best games. Especially PPR wise, he's gonna with Reed out, I could see him easily getting to the mid teens pretty easily there.
Tony, how about for you in this one? Is it pretty much just you like Jeffrey or you like Meredith? If you have to choose between the two of them, which one would you go with?
I go Meredith slightly because they seem to have something going between those two guys and Jeffrey coming back. On the other one, though, I like Pierre Garçon when Reed's out, actually, to tell you the truth, more than I do. I think James Crowder is good every week, and I think he plays well, and I think there's plenty of games where they both have played great, Reed and Crowder. But Pierre Garçon seems to be more in the matchup. He's not doesn't get lost in the shuffle. He becomes fantasy relevant when Jordan Reed's out.
Let's go over to the Panthers hosting the Falcons. 9-5 Falcons against the 6-8 Panthers. Panthers basically, you know, all but mathematically eliminated here. Let's start with you over here, Mike Jr. You know, where do you go here? I mean, I know Cam Newton's played a little bit better of late, but Olsen's been incredibly disappointing in the second half. I know he had a good game the other week, but, I mean, outside of that, it's been pretty dreadful. Benjamin's been inconsistent.
Do you know that Greg Olsen thing is starting to annoy me?
Starting?
Because he's the second best tight end in football, and everybody says how bad he is.
Yeah, well, it's annoying because he's not producing. It's not his fault.
It's not that he's not producing.
He's the second most points.
Tony's giving you the numbers. I think people are let down on him because he's only caught 3 touchdown passes.
Well, that's also part of it. But
that's the only part. Joe, that's the only part of it. Tony,
if you go back and look at the game logs here, look, he had a stretch there. 4.5, 6.5 points, 5.3, 6.4. He had an entire month where he did nothing, and then he had a double-digit game before that, and before that, 1.6. He's had he's looking at 8 points a week as an average over the last 8 weeks.
13.59, second best in the National Football League. So I guess you must hate every tight end.
I don't hate every tight end, but he padded it. In the first half of the season, he was doing great. I said was in the second half of the season, he hasn't done well. I didn't say Greg Olsen's a bad tight end. I said second half of the season, he's been a disappointment.
So basically he had a 14, he had a 12 in his last two games. That wasn't good enough for you. You're going to go pick 10 through 13 there and just pick out a small sample size. At this point, you can find out with every I can find out with every tight end in football.
Right, so if he's every tight end in football, what makes Olsen so much better?
I don't know why you think he's that one.
I don't know, Spider.
Are you going to just yell louder? Is that how you're going to be right?
I'm
absolutely incorrect.
Tony, how can you be disappointed with the second best tight end? Tony, you just said the same thing. You just said you could do that with every tight end of football. You just said he's so much better. So if I could do it with Olsen, what makes him better than every tight end of football right now?
He's better because he has more points. This ain't math. You didn't have to go to Harvard to figure that one out.
He has more points because he had a couple big games in the beginning of the year, including one for 100. He had one game for 181 yards. That's 2 weeks worth of production right there.
So
Tony,
you know what? So we shouldn't count those games?
I'm not saying you don't count them. The statement I made was very clear about Olsen. The statement I made about Greg Olsen was in the second half of the year, he's been disappointing. Is that not a true statement?
That's not what he said. You said he's been a
disappointment. That is absolutely. Scott, is that what I said?
No,
I said in the last couple weeks he's been a disappointment.
You got down there.
That is not what I said. That was the first thing I said. That is how I led it off. Boys, I gotta go to you guys because you guys don't care. You don't really care if we're right or wrong. Did I not preface the Greg Olsen with he's been disappointing in the second half?
I mean, he has been disappointing, but...
No. I know he has been, but did I preface it in the second half? Was that part of my preface in the Greg Olsen discussion? Before Tony said, I'm mad at him.
It was a little vague, but I thought that I did hear
A little vague. Just tell the guy he didn't say it.
I did say it. I said he's been very disappointing in the second half. That's what I said. I said, where do you go with him or Kelvin Benjamin? And then you said, I'm getting mad. We have to go back and listen to the tape.
Because you guys, he's a tight end position, right?
Sometimes I understand he's a tight end position.
Sometimes you have to catch. That's part of football.
I understand it's part of football, and I understand exactly what you're talking about with Greg Olsen, and I'm not trying to crap on Greg Olsen as a player. I love him as a player. I think he's still a great fantasy tight end, and I'd be happy to own him on my team. However, in the last 8 weeks of the season, he has been a letdown. And not just from the production that he's given you in the first couple weeks, but in the overall, compared to other tight ends, he has been a negative. And it's not just the lack of touchdowns. It's the 3-for-30 days. It's the 4-for-33 days. It's the 5-for-39. That's not where you drafted Greg Olsen for, Tony, and that's the only statement
I'm making.
Yeah,
but you can look at every tight end and maybe have that a
right, so if I can look at every tight end and say they're the same, what makes him so much better right now?
The entire position.
Don't tell me talent.
The entire position has been disappointing.
So if I take the weeks that you, the 12, weeks 12 through 16, right, and only use those weeks, okay, he's still the 9th best tight end.
Okay, but that's that where
so
you're
So he's never been a disaster. You said disaster. He hasn't been a disaster.
Who's the 10th tight end right now? Who's next to him?
In the last 4 weeks on the season.
In your comparison of what you just did, give me the other names
Dwayne
there,
Allen.
10, 11, 12.
Dwayne Allen is
who also had one good game. You feel good about Dwayne Allen this week? You're rolling him out there?
I never roll him out there.
Right.
But I'm going to roll out. But the last 15 weeks are irrelevant with what I do this week. You know better than that.
Oh, of course. And let's get back to that. Is he relevant this week, considering he's gone on an upward trend in the last 2 weeks after 8 weeks or so of being relatively disappointing? And I think that's a fair statement.
How much of that goes into line to the quarterback improving
a lot.
With his health?
A lot. But I have to put him in the situation where he is. I can't judge any player. I can't judge receivers not without their quarterback. That's what we have to do. That's the lot we've been given. That's every football analysis.
But you didn't get to Cam Newton yet. I'm waiting.
Okay. Tony, how do you feel about Cam Newton this week?
He's playing better.
He had a 300-yard game last week, and he plays against the Falcons. The Falcons have allowed the most passing yards in the NFC.
I love it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Now, on the flip side of that here, the Falcons clearly had their way with the Panthers last time. So let's go back to Mike. Let's try to get Mike back in here. They're both looking at each other right now in the studio like, what did we get ourselves into? Next time we make a playoff, we're going to ask for a trip to Vegas or something. We do not want to go and spend time with Joe and Tony and Scott. That's an
awful
idea.
We're getting them right now. They're getting ready for the future, their future, when they're going to be lawyers and they're going to be arguing with Roger Goodell over socks and uniforms and deflated footballs.
Oh, please. If you ever get that far, please just let everyone play. Just please let them play the game. But look, are you concerned about the Panthers' ability, Mike, to stop the Falcons with Julio Jones back on the field today?
Absolutely. I see Julio Jones have another monster game. Not 300 yards, but I see him putting up monster numbers.
And is there anybody outside of Cam Newton that you trust in this offense right now? Do you trust Stewart running the ball? Do you trust Benjamin? Do you trust Olsen?
When they're on the goal line, I trust Stewart just because he gets those goal line carries. But I know someone's going to disagree with me, but I like Olsen this week. I know he's been disappointing, as you specified before, but the Falcons are fourth worst against tight ends, and their defense is nothing special. And I think Olsen has a good day as well.
Yeah, we've seen the better Greg Olsen the last 2 weeks. I like Olsen. Like Mike expertly pointed out there, they're good against the tight end. I'm not as big on Julio as the rest of you guys. I don't think there's a monster game coming back from a very painful pain management injury. I think it's seasonal. You have to roll him out. And daily, I'm avoiding him.
All right, we're going to hit a break when we come back. We are going to continue on the get around here. We've got a lot of games left, so we're kind of bang these out here. Bills and Dolphins next. We'll talk about which running backs we like and don't like in that one. You're listening to Game Day. We'll be right back after this. It wouldn't be Christmas without a little fighting and arguing, right? Right, Tony? No, that's what we do.
That's the most important part of this whole show today, anyways.
What's the most important part of this whole
show? We got two college kids here, right?
I know, it's beautiful.
Any girls listening to the show like they're going to be impressed by two guys?
None. If anything, their stock in the dating game just went down.
No, I don't believe that. I believe at least it works for me. So I don't know. What is? Did you, Mike? Do you have any girls listen to the show?
Hopefully, I didn't.
Well, did you put it out there on social media, Mike?
Yeah, you didn't tell them. Yeah,
it is.
You say, hey, catch me on the radio today.
You think about that. You're in the biggest rooftop bar in New York City doing a show. That's gotta bring some clout. Like, that's way better than the dude studying his history.
You putting pictures of yourself in the studio at least? That's got to be your new profile picture, so everybody asks, right?
That's a good thought. I'll consider it.
Oh, come on, Luke. Please tell me you've done this.
I have the picture once the show. Actually, I can do it right now. I can do that right now.
Why waste any time?
I mean, come on. You got to soak this in for all it's worth. I'm with Tony here. Look, life is short and youth is even shorter. So go out there and you need to take a bunch of pictures of you guys at the studio. Have Scott take a picture of you guys at the mic. So you look like the big shots that you are right now.
Scott's a fantasy Hall of Famer. He was on ESPN, CBS. Now you're working with him. The girls will be impressed by that.
And plus, if you take a picture next to Scott, you're going to look so good by comparison.
See, Scott.
I don't know why you're on here judging the looks of other men, Joe. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I love you, Scotty.
You look a lot like me, so what does that say about you?
I think they're equally attractive.
Except I'm not a meatball like you. You're built like a meatball.
I am built like a meatball. Tough but on the outside and nice and tender on the inside, baby.
No, just a lot of meat and not much between the ears.
Are you saying I'm a lot of breadcrumbs and that's it? Just a lot of stuffing and filling?
I wouldn't insult the breadcrumbs like that.
Nice. Very, very sweet. This feels like Christmas. Why do I have to go see my parents? I could just spend the next couple days with you guys and we'll get it all done together. But yeah, I agree there. First, you know, we've got a short segment here anyway, so we'll push the games a little bit. How did you guys become friends? Let's tell the story about you know, the two of you. You guys friends through high school, you know, before that. Go ahead, Mike. You tell us a story.
Me and Luke, we played travel baseball together. My dad was actually the coach. His dad came along a few years after in relief of my dad because he wasn't performing well.
Oh my gosh.
We did
pretty
well.
Your dad
got
fired from travel league baseball?
I wouldn't say fired. They kind of took on a dual role, but yeah, we had some ups and downs. We had
some
good
Scott,
years.
Scott, can I get a ruling on this? Would you say fired, or would you say the organization asked him to move to the front office? What'd they do?
They mutually parted ways. That's what the press release said.
All right, continue, boys.
We just got a tweet before you continue, just for these two guys. I'm sure tons of hot women are tuned in on Christmas Eve to Fantasy Sports Radio. The show is the Tinder of fantasy sports talk.
Wait a minute. Isn't Tammy Perdue listening? Isn't Kelly listening?
Yeah, we got a couple, see?
Yeah.
You never know.
My wife is Tammy's listening? Come on.
Yeah, we got it rolling now.
Go ahead, fellas. Continue. Please don't. What else was? So you guys met playing travel baseball when you were how old?
I think it was like 7th or 8th grade, right before high school.
All right, and now you're both in college now at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We were good friends.
Where are you going to school?
I'm at William & Mary, and Mike's at Marist.
Al Marist, there you go. Are you guys playing ball or anything up there, or just you're just hitting the books? What are you doing?
Intramurals.
Nice, there you go.
I'm playing some club soccer. Trying my hand at that, so we're not. We gave up on the baseball game. The baseball careers. We hung up the spikes a couple of years ago, so those have passed us by.
However, we decided to coach a team of our own because we felt we could be better than both our dads, and we did much better.
We took teams with minimal talent,
and they performed
you can probably
way
relate
over their
to the
heads.
Kids better.
Well, you know what? Not only do you relate well, but you have zero bias. So the kids see it as an opportunity for them to go out there and play on merit. I remember I played on a team, I think I was 12, who was two high school kids where the coach is. And we went and we ran the whole gamut. We won the Mayor's Trophy championship game, the whole thing. Everybody was there on the same level. No coaches' kids, no none of that. Everybody had to go out there, prove themselves, prove their worth. And it's amazing, like the system and the lack of you know, I guess this happened. Tony, you were a coach for a long time, too. I think it's hard sometimes because you get kids that might resent other kids. Or the unity of that team was so good because we were all of us together. There was no other, you know, nonsense, right, where you're like, oh, well, that kid's going to play more or pitch more because his dad or his, you know, uncle's a coach or whatever. You find that, Tony?
Those kind of situations always there because the parents actually, you know, kids don't realize it until their parents on the way home. Telling them, you know, you don't play because you know, Mike's dad's the coach, so Mike's going to be the pitcher, he's going to be the shortstop. And that's the stuff that the craziness. I would never coach again. After I go to some games now, and I'm horrified because of the parents. And kids are not into it anymore. Like, the good players right now are better than when we played, but there's like 80% terrible players now because they like video games. They like other things. They don't have the sports every single day that we played growing up.
All right, now listen, I'm telling you guys, look, Mike, Luke, you know, I understand it's Christmas Eve, and I understand that, you know, maybe some of the girls might not be listening, but they're all on Facebook, and they're all on Twitter, and they're all over the place today because they don't want to spend time with their families because they're 19-year-old girls. So all the girls that you know, I'm telling you right now, put this out there on social media, you know, what a big deal you are today being on the show. And soak it in for all it's worth, because maybe you get a date over the holiday break over it. You know, you're only home for a little while. You soak it in. Get it working for you. For those just joining the show, we've got Mike Cardano Jr. and his friend Luke Bonino with us for the last hour of the show coming forward as well. They made it to the Expert League champion, to the playoffs, and their wager was they could come on and come host the show with us, and we're having great fun with them. We've got 1 hour left. We've got some games to get to still. And, of course, we're going to break down the daily fantasy slate as well. A lot to get there. So stick with us. Joe Pizzapia, Tony Cincata, Scott Engel. We got a Bonino. We got a Cardano. We got a whole family here. A Considori and a Partridge and a Pear Tree. You're listening to Game Day right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.